Well, welcome to the 11th season of All About Thailand, and may I welcome Thailand, Sawadee Krap, and of course, the rest of the world. Good morning, and I hope everybody is just fine. Now, what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about Koh Shang, Elephant Island, as it's known about, which is a stunning gem in the Gulf of Thailand. It is just an amazing island. I want to talk about it in 2024, and it does offer an awful lot, from like dense jungles to vibrant sort of coral reefs. So it's really exciting. So come on, let's do it. First of all, I want to give you like a bit of a brief history about Koh Shang. It's the second largest island, and it boasts a very rich sort of history dating back centuries. Obviously, the indigenous Chao Lei people, I think they're like these sort of sea gypsies, you know, and they were set up like trading posts, and they were trading between China, India, and along the, the Malay Peninsula, let's say. I mean, throughout its history, the island has witnessed influences from various cultures. This is what makes it so exciting. You know, they've got Chinese, Malay, and of course, you've got us European traders as well. Now, in the late 19th century, during the reign of King Rama, you know, Koh Shang was formally integrated into the Thai kingdom. Because of its strategic location near the maritime sort of trade routes, and it continued its importance, also as a naval base and centre for fishing and maritime sort of commerce. I think you said marital commerce then. Yeah, well, I suppose that as well. During the Second World War, Koh Shang played a very large role in Thailand's defence against Japanese invasion, with the remnants of the coastal defence structures still visible today. But in the latter half of the 20th century, Koh Shang became a real sort of tourist attraction, a real destination, particularly amongst backpackers seeking the unspoilt beaches and the lush tropical landscapes. It really is amazing. And then you see the development of the established resorts and hotels, and the beginning of the infrastructure to accommodate the growing number of visitors. But let's say in 2024, Koh Shang remains a very, very popular destination for travellers from around the world. And it's got its pristine beaches and all its marine life. And it's got such a rich heritage as well. And, you know, it's all a part of this really large, diverse tapestry. It really is amazing. Now, I just want to talk about the best ways of actually getting to Koh Shang. It's such a beautiful island in Trat province, but you can go by car and by ferry. So if you're driving from Bangkok or other parts of Thailand, you will take Highway 3, known as the Sukhumvit Road, towards the Trat province. Once you reach Trat town, continue driving to the Lem Nopa Pier, which is the main sort of ferry terminal, really, for Koh Shang. From there, you can board a ferry. And the ferry ride takes around about sort of 30, 40 minutes. And once you actually have arrived, you can always explore the island by taxi. You know, by bus and by ferry, there are several bus services available from the Bangkok Eastern sort of terminal to Trat town. The journey takes around about 5 to 6 hours, so stock yourself up. You know, it's quite a bit of a ride, and depending on the traffic as well and the road conditions. But from Trat town, you go and take the Songkru a shared taxi, or just a taxi to, like I said, Lom Nob up here, and then catch a ferry to Koh Shang. You could also go by plane and obviously take the ferry. If you prefer to fly, you can take a domestic flight from Bangkok to Trat Airport. I think it's TDX, I think it is. And several airlines operate daily flights between Bangkok and Trat, so you've got no worries of getting there. So, you know, it's the same old thing. Take a taxi to the pier, and then a ferry to Koh Shang. Then, of course, you could also try, you want to go a little bit better, a bit more upscale. Let's say you can do a private transfer. Some hotels and resorts in Koh Shang offer private transfer services for guests, include a combination of car and ferry and speedboat transfers to the island. But nevertheless, whatever route you take, it's a good idea to check the ferry schedules in advance, because, you know, that's the main way you are going to get there as well. And additionally, keep in mind that the road conditions may vary at certain times and could affect your journey accordingly. But, you know, it is such an easy way to get there, and the ferry is absolutely fantastic. So what I want to do is I want to talk about the hotels, and I'm going to talk a bit about the hotels just after this ad. As of 2024, Koh Shang offers a very diverse range of accommodation, I think, to suit various sort of budgets and sort of preferences, really. From the luxury resorts to the budget-friendly sort of hostels, you know, here's a bit of an overview of some of the top hotels and hostels on the island, along with their sort of approximate costs and facilities. I mean, let's go with the luxury resorts first. Let's do it. The Emerald Cove Koh Shang is located on the Klong Prao Beach. This is a very upscale resort and offers luxurious rooms and with villas and stunning sea views. The facilities include multiple swimming pools, spas, a fitness center, restaurants, and full water sports activities. You know, the prices start around about $150 to $350 US per night, and that's depending on the type of room and, of course, the season. And then you've got some of the three Koh Shang resorts situated Krung Prao Beach as well. This is a five-star hotel resort and features sort of elegant sort of villas nestled amongst the tropical gardens. Really quite pretty. And the guests can enjoy sort of infinity pools, spa, yoga classes, and anything else like that. And these room rates range typically between $200 and $400 US per night. And the more sort of mid-range, now we did actually stay here. We really liked it here. The Mercure Koh Shang Hideaway, and it's in Banlan Bay. This is a very mid-range sort of hotel. Very, very comfortable rooms, bungalows surrounded by nature amenities and swimming pool, restaurant and bar and beach access. And you know, prices vary, not too bad, from anything like $70 US to $150 per night. And the KC Grand Resort and Spa is sort of, now this is situated on the White Sand Beach. This resort offers sort of modern rooms and very, very open plan sort of gardens. Facilities include sort of like swimming pools, spa, fitness center, and, you know, an abundance of restaurants and water sports activities yet again. But the room rates typically start with this one anything between $100 to $200 per night. But now let's just go on to some of the budget friendly options. You've got the Pajamas Koh Shang. I like this one. Located near Lonely Beach, very famous beach. This hostel offers sort of dormitory style private rooms as well at affordable rates, and guests can enjoy the facilities of a shared kitchen and lounge and outdoor terrace. And dorm beds start about between $10 and $20 per night. If you're going to want a private room, you're going to be looking at nearly $30 to $50 per night. And there's this other one, there's a little sunshine boutique and sort of beach resort situated on Cay Bar Beach, and this is a boutique sort of hotel, and it offers quite a sort of budget friendly sort of bungalows and rooms just steps away from the beach, and the amenities include swimming pool, restaurant and other things, and you're looking at between $40 to $80 a night. But please note, the prices mentioned are approximate, and they do vary depending on factors of season and roommates and availability and all that. And I don't want you coming back to me and saying, no, that's not what I found, you know, because you know, these prices aren't really set in stone. But yeah, the Mercure, we had a very good stay when we were in Koh Shang. We absolutely loved it. Well, we've reached that time in the show now where I would like to welcome all our new listeners to the podcast. Thank you ever so much for listening. And I'd like to put out a big thank you to all our existing listeners as well and followers. Thank you ever so much. And, you know, Koh Shang really is an amazing island. Me and Kung, we went there about 5 years ago now. We had a wonderful time there. It is really beautiful. And you know, I just want to tell you a little bit more about it. Now, you've got lots of stuff going on. So in the next segment, I am going to talk about what there is to do in Koh Shang. Well, I must admit, you can get up to quite a lot of things in Koh Shang. You know, you've got loads and loads of activities. I mean, the beach activities, let's just say, you can relax on the beach and on the white sand. There's so many fantastic beaches like Lonely Beach or Cay Bay Beach. And engage in water sports such as snorkeling and scuba diving, kayaking and stand up paddleboarding. That's fun. That really is fun. And the prices for the water sports do sort of typically range from either $10 per person, between $10 and $50 per person, I would say, depending on the type of activity you're doing and the duration. And you've got the island tours. They're great. You know, you can take a boat tour to explore the nearby islands and snorkel at Karang Marine Park. There's an idea. And join a jungle trekking tour through the lush rainforests and waterfalls. Oh, I hope we don't run into any monkeys or even elephants. I don't like monkeys. I'm not a great fan of monkeys. But for the island tour and jungle treks, they start around about between $20 to $50 per person. Same thing, depending on the duration and the type of excursion. But you know, this is one place, you know, you can't visit Elephant Island without going and seeing the elephants, can you? You know, you can visit Ban Wan Tan Elephant, the Elephant's House Camp, I think that means, and all the other elephant sanctuaries on the island, and learn about interacting with all these rescued elephants. And the prices for the elephant sanctuary, they range the same again from around about $30 to $50 per person. And you know, this is the other thing, is that the cookery classes, me and Kung, we love these cookery classes, going back to all the islands seem to do them, you know, and prepare traditional fresh Thai dishes and then everything else like that. You've got these spa and wellness treatments as well, which is absolutely amazing. But these are just a few examples of these sort of activities and experiences that you can actually have in Koh Shang in 2024. Prices may vary depending on factors such as the season, location, and of course the service provider. But it is recommended that you inquire locally or through tour operators. I would say to get an idea of the proper price, you know, because it does vary so much. It's just one of those things. Yeah, the nightclubs in Koshang, you know, it pulsates, doesn't it, with a really vibrant sort of nightlife scene, and it offers an array of nightclubs and restaurants, which we'll talk about in the next section a little bit more. And as the sun sort of dips down over the horizon, the island comes alive with the rhythm of music and the aroma of this delectable cuisine, attracting a diverse crowd of locals, tourists and expats as well. You know, the nightclubs in Koshang cater to various sort of musical preferences, I would say, from the pulsating electronic beat to the dance music, which is all right. But, you know, I like the more sort of like, me and Kong, we like the more sort of laid back vibes of the reggae and especially the live bands. Me and Kong, I must admit, we do like our live bands, you know. Popular spots like the Sabay Bar and Cody's Place, they draw in the crowds, so they're lively atmosphere. And I think it's because of the beachfront sort of locations and the fantastic sort of drinks menus and prices. But they typically range from anything from $3 to $10 for the cocktails and the beers. But in addition to the nightclubs, there is this very, very big sort of dining scene, which I will talk about in the next section, of course. But when you have a look at the demographics of people sort of frequenting the nightclubs in Koshang, they are very diverse, because you've got the young travellers and the backpackers, and often flock to the island sort of beach bars and the dance ones. But there is it's a real melting pot, really, of demographics. Whereas the elder part of us, we all go down to the reggae bars and the chill out and listening to the live bands. So the demographics really are good in Koshang. Yeah, really, me and Kong, we really do enjoy the eating scene. You know, I mean, in 2024, I suppose Koshang boasts an array of outstanding sort of restaurants in a way. You've got the Blue Lagoon restaurant, you know, which is nestled in the charming sort of fishing village of Bang Bao. The Blue Lagoon restaurant is renowned for its exquisite seafood dishes and stunning ocean views. And the guests can savour catches of the day. I mean, food it's amazing, like grilled fish, prawns and squid, and all sourced directly from the fishermen. Also, the restaurant offers a selection of international dishes and Thai dishes as well. Yeah, made with all the finest ingredients that you would expect. But, you know, the prices do range anything between 10 and $20 per person. And then you've got this one. Oh, this one's really nice. You've been there, it's so great. It's a treehouse restaurant. And it's perched amidst the last sort of treetops of Klong Prao Beach. The treehouse restaurant offers a unique dining experience with its elevated wooden platform and panoramic sea views. And it specializes in Thai fusion cuisine. That means sort of blending of old and modern sort of flavors, and of course the techniques, so that you can enjoy such real big sort of signature dishes such as the mango sticky rice with coconut cream curry, and you've got like local seafood. Prices for the meals at the Treehouse restaurant range from $10 to something like 15, something like that, per person. And then you've got the Aya Prao Kochang, which is, I think it's Klong Song Beach, I think, situated within the luxurious Aya Kochang Resort, the Kochang. Now, the elegant restaurant offers sophisticated dining, and it's in amongst the tropical gardens and quite a tranquil beachfront setting, I would say. And it's very, very diverse. And the prices for these meals are really depending on the menu and the dining experience. Anything from, I would say, probably from $150 to $200, and some less as well. And of course, you've still got all the street vending, the street seller food, you know, which is amazing. Because anything is sort of the equivalent of $2 to $3. The street food, you know, I've got a story at the end of the podcast, and I know how much you love the stories. A little bit about the street food and what it's like. You know, it really is amazing. You know, and I know how much you love the stories. Well, this Koshang story goes back quite a way, really, about nearly, about 8 years ago now. And we were staying at the Ricoeur Hotel. We had a nice little beach sort of chalet. And this is really about the first time that Kung had actually really experienced sort of largish sort of hotels and everything. So it was quite funny. There's two things, really, two parts of the story. Is when we came to check in, it turned out, because we'd got such a long stay, 5 days that we'd booked and paid for, they said that they were going to upgrade us. And, you know, Kung, when at the moment when this woman said, "We're going to upgrade you," Kung's face was like a look, you know, quite sort of stern, you know. And I said, "Well, you know, that's a good thing, Kung. Upgrade is a good thing." But the other thing as well was getting back to the fact that, you know, Kung is just so used to the village and village food at then, you know, at that stage in our relationship. She said, you know, we've got, like, there's three restaurants in this hotel, you know, three very lovely restaurants, very good food in this hotel. And I'm chuckling while I'm telling this story. And she said, "Oh, I'm going to go out and I go get some food." And I said, "Well, okay, cool, you go and get some food." And she came back with this salted fish. You know, sort of, you know, very, 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 I don't know, it was obviously the street food that she'd got. And I said, "Kung, I said, where did you get the fish? Blah, where? Blah, 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 mai. Kinong mai." You know, and she'd gone out of the hotel and went out and got this fish. And she loved it. She loved it. And that's what it was. It's like home-cooked food for her, isn't it? You know, all the way. So anyway, we're at the end of the podcast now. Thank you ever so much for listening. And it leaves me with nothing more to say than stay safe. Love you all.